One to the Thursday, February 8th, 2018 Code Enforcement Board meeting. Meeting will now come to order. Before we have a roll call, I want to introduce our new secretary. Her name is June Barnes, and Amy is moved up to senior paralegal for the city. So we're in a little bit of a transition today, and we also have a new board member, Darlene Purdy, so we welcome her as well.
Thank you.
June, you have a phone number?
I do. I'll give you
a Yeah, and we've got a card here. So.
Oh, okay.
And let's see what else is going on. We have, thank you, Mr. Jones is out today, and Mrs. Hines is out today. So I guess we could have a roll call.
Ms. Kundig?
Here.
Ms. Howes?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Ms. Purdy?
Here.
And Mr. Westerholt?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. All right. Motion to excuse Mr. Jones and Mrs. Hines. Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay, let's take a look at the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read them? Any additions or corrections?
Move for acceptance.
All right. Mr. Harrington makes motion to accept. Do we have a second?
Second,
Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication?
Madam Chairperson,
yes,
just so we have a new member here tonight, for this morning, excuse me. Basically, I just want to point out to everybody, this is a different kind of a board. It's a quasi-judicial board. It's not like the planning board, you know, where you make a recommendation to the city commission. This is a quasi, you make decisions, which can be appealed to the circuit court. So again, if there's any time, two things could happen. If you get a call from somebody to discuss the case, politely refuse to discuss the case with them, bring it up at the meeting and say, I got a call from Citizen Jones. I told him I'm not going to discuss the case with them. Period. If you run across each other at Publix or at the mall or at the movie theater, you can say hi, you can talk about anything else, just don't discuss the particulars of the case.
Okay.
If you do, for some reason, some reason you have to, just disclose it at the meeting. I ran into Ouija at the farmer's market. We didn't discuss the case, but it doesn't make a difference. Whatever I decide today, based upon what I hear at the meeting, and you're fine.
Okay.
You said that our decisions can be appealed to the court?
Right.
Can they also be appealed to the city commission?
No. For example, we enter an order. There's 30 days for the person to file this with the circuit court to appeal the decision of the board.
In other words, a fine is not a decision?
No, that's a little different now. A fine is a obligation to the city. Once we propose a fine, the city has the right to make a decision or send it back for a lien review. That becomes the city's fine. I'm talking about an order finding for that order. Order instituting a fine. Order not compliant, for example. Those are appealable. Well, once they become final orders, they're appealable to the circuit court, not to the city commission. Like, for example, we decide to fine somebody non compliant, fine an individual, the commission can't come around and set our business aside. We don't have that authority to do so. We are independent. That's why I'm here. We have two attorneys. We're independent of the commission. Now, the commission make recommendations. They can appoint people to the board. They can take people off the board. They just can't make it. They don't make our decisions. I don't know if that helped them.
Well, it's one explanation.
I know. And, you know, you get two attorneys, you get two different opinions.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? Madam Secretary, any announcements? Just maybe the cases that are in compliance, just announce those.
We do. Number seven. Sorry. Number one, case number 12-17-166 is in compliance as of January 31st, 2018. Case number 8, which is 11-17-150, which is 551 Whitehall Street, is in compliance 1-30-2018. Number 10, 11-17-144, which is 508 Fremont Avenue, is in compliance. 130-2018. Number 16, which is 11-18-11, which is 665 Winchester Street, is in compliance. 21-2018. There's a new case that is not marked on your agenda as in compliance, which is number 22.
Okay.
And it's 02-18-21, and that's 1122 Mason Avenue, and that was in compliance 2-5-2018.
Okay.
Number 26, which is 2-18-25, it is 1213 Sunland Road, in compliance 129-2018. And I missed one, which is number 19, which is 1116 Madison Avenue, and it's in compliance 125-2018. My apologies.
Oh, I think that might be the inspector's name.
Could you repeat that last one for me,
yeah,
please?
I think that might be...
Yeah, I have that. I don't have that one in compliance. Number 19, I don't have in compliance. It's on her.
Okay.
I changed. I must have changed.
I think there's something else. On the 18
week, the number 4. Okay.
So, number 18,
CEB011816
for 162 Lee is in compliance.
Okay.
As of today.
John? Date?
125. It is 125.
Okay.
Number 18 is in compliance.
Yes.
Number 19 is
yes.
Not. In
correct.
Compliance.
All right. Any other announcements? All right. Would our code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right, everyone, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in orders that are listed on the agenda. If there are attorneys present that must be in court, we will hear those cases first. There are police officers who must get back to assignments. We'll hear those cases first as well. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner of the property. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. Normally, we take a break at 11 o'clock if we feel like we're going over, and if we haven't heard your case, if you'll come up to the front, anybody that's left can get in line and have their case heard first before we get to the other ones, but we may be finished pretty close to 11 today. All right. We can start with our lien review. Case number CEB 06-09116 at 949 Vernon Street, Fields and Harris.
Hello, my name is Ann Hart. I'm representing Viva Investment Home. I am in relation to the owner. I work for the property management company that manages Vernon Street.
Okay.
So, could you raise your right hand?
Mm-hmm.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we're going to listen to Mr. Jackson first, and then we'll hear from you. Thank you.
Good morning. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is a lien review, as stated. The interesting circumstance, this is one where this property was purchased at a tax deed sale. There were excess proceeds that came to the city. In fact, there were $9,262 of the proceeds that the city received. Once and what has been typical for when people do tax deed, they kind of believe that everything's gone and it's not. So it's reasonable, at least from the city's perspective, of their explanation of not realizing that the remaining portion of the deed, of the lien remained. Once they were notified, they immediately took care of the violations. The city is very pleased with their response, and the city is requesting waiver of the lien because of the large portion that the city has already received.
The waiver
of the remaining
$759.76.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Would you like to tell us anything? Is your name Ms. Hart?
Yes.
Just that once we were aware of the lien violation, I did try to reach out to Mr. Alderman with everything that was taken care of. We did have an eviction during that time, so once that got taken care of, we're looking to move forward with getting the house better for the community. And
good.
That's it.
All right. Any comments from the board or questions?
You're a property manager, a realtor, or?
Property manager.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you handle the tax sale?
I did not, no. No, that was done through Viva Investment Homes, which is the owner, and they purchased it through the courthouse.
And I'm asking this question because I don't know. When you purchase from a tax thing, do they do a title search?
No, they don't. No. It's through the courthouse, so it's all just an auction. So you just kind of buy it out.
So we have kind of a sloppy situation from my point of view when the lien isn't properly filed by the city.
Well, the lien must have been filed because it took the money.
Right, yeah. We got money.
Well, how is that not picked up then?
Unique situation with tax deeds and people who tend, investors who tend to deal with tax deeds if they're especially not as experienced, but one of the unique situations is that a tax deed wrap pretty much knocks out everything except municipal liens. So the municipal liens stay, and people think just because they got their tax deed, it's free and clear, but it's not free and clear. So because there were excess proceeds, the city's notified of that, and we are able to obtain those proceeds from the sale, but that doesn't cover the full lien. We still have leftover if the balance of the lien, and that was the circumstance in this case. But we recognize that if we had gone to a lien review, that this is probably a substantial amount that we would have obtained, and so mm-hmm. we believe it to be reasonable, mm-hmm. at least the position of the city.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to waive the lien. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Weatherholtz. Is there a second? Okay, someone else needs to make a motion. That motion fails for lack of second. All right.
And if they can please make a motion a little more specific, that the recommendation would be to waive the remainder of the lien of $5,759.76.
All right, the chair, I guess I can make another motion. Can I? Okay. Or I'll entertain another motion to waive the remainder of the lien, which is $5,759.76. Since over $9,000 has already been paid.
I'm going to make the motion again.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Weatherholtz. Is there a second?
I can second it.
All right. Second, Ms. Purdy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
So let's have a roll call, please.
Mr. Weatherholtz?
Yes.
Ms. House?
No.
Ms. Kontek?
Yes.
Ms. Purdy?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
Yes.
Motion passes 3-2. No?
No.
Four needs to be on the thing. On a lien, you need five affirmative votes. I mean, I'm sorry, four affirmative votes. Yeah.
I'm if that's not satisfactory to four of us, I'd like to hear what would be satisfactory and how we can bring this to a conclusion.
I'd like to see the remainder of the lien paid.
Okay.
We have a lien that was imposed in 2009 and ignored, and I think it's time to pay it.
When was the property purchased at the tax sale? I forget. I'm sorry.
In 2015.
October of 2015 is when it was purchased.
And if I may say, Madam Chair, maybe I didn't make this clear, and Ms. Harrington, maybe I didn't make this clear, but the current property owners were not the ones responsible for the violation. So, I mean, as I understand your request, I just wanted to make sure that's well understood.
Yeah,
that.
And we
they
also
weren't responsible, and at the time when they were made notified of the violations, those violations were taken care of immediately.
We also understand the lien goes with the property.
I'm trying to debate. I just
all right. That's okay. Thank you, Mrs. House. Would you like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we ask that the remainder of the lien be paid in full.
Second.
We have a motion from Mrs. House and a second from Mr. Harrington. May we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Westerholtz?
No.
Ms. House?
Yes.
Ms. Kundig?
No.
Ms. Purdy?
No.
And Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Yes.
So we're back to where we started from?
I guess there's one more.
I want to apologize. So just please sit down. Relax. We'll get through this.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there was one more point. I don't know if it's recognized as well. This lien arose for parking on the grass, so it wasn't for building.
Okay, I know that's not funny, but
conditions or anything else with parking on the grass.
Okay. And that was one of, I think that was one of the things. Yeah, there are other things as well. Okay. Just a little ironic. I'm going to make a motion to continue this case until next month. Is there a second to that motion? Excuse me? I can't make the motion. I'll entertain a motion. Unless
who's
I pass.
Who's the vice chair?
She's not here.
She's not here.
Who's a senior member? Neil.
Neil.
Yeah.
I will accept a motion to continue this case to the next meeting date.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
I guess it's 6-0 in favor.
Okay.
Or 5.
I mean, we'll have 2 more people at the next meeting, so we can break the ties.
All right, case number 1 is in compliance. Case number 2, CEB 12-17-167. Three Oaks Inn at 331 South Palmetto Avenue. Is the respondent present? Ah, good morning.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Ed Kearney, the contractor for Three Oaks.
Is that K-E-A?
C-A-R-N-E-Y.
Sorry. Thanks.
And I brought handouts for everyone to do.
Okay. All right. Let us hear from Code. This is a progress report and determination of a compliance date. Okay?
Madam Chair, members of the board, we really don't have any information, and we're waiting as well to hear the report from the respondent as to the progress and
okay.
the compliance.
But
Mr. Carney. Good morning.
Hi.
I've distributed some pictures to show we've been working diligently daily on the project. We've, of course, this was the original blueprints I shared with you last week. Since then, we've also retained a structural engineer to go through the building structural feasibility, and he found it to be in compliance. And we have a letter stating that I've shared with the building department downstairs. So, like I referred last time I was here, we're starting with the west side of the building, going to the south side of the building, the east side of the building, then the north side of the building. Really, the north side of the building we're going to have a big challenge with, but we've removed all the fascia siding and siding from the west side of the building. We've started the south side, and now once I have the structural engineer and the city accepts it downstairs, Mr. Urquhart, we will be attempting to put the building back together. So we won't have blue tarps in front of Palmetto Avenue, but we will start to put the CDX plywood, the tieback wrap, the new windows, and the new paint.
Good. Well, thank you for doing all this work to a building that really needs it. We appreciate that,
well,
especially.
You're right, and it's a two-part process. Not only is it the contractor, but it's the individual who's making the investment.
Right.
In the city.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Mr. Sanders isn't here for this case. Is there someone that would like to? Okay.
Mike Fitzgerald is handling the case.
Okay.
He really said he didn't have anything to present other than he doesn't know what time, and I wanted to hear that from him as well, that he was expecting
okay.
for them to bring the material here. To the,
okay, well, we'll ask him that question.
Okay.
All right, so a ballpark figure, when do you think this work can be accomplished?
Maybe September. And we have two people there every day with high-reach equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked for 90 days to come back to you all.
Mm-hmm.
With an update, at least I'll have the front of the building done,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be able to show significant progress, color, and quality workmanship.
Is this going to be a multifamily?
It's not going to change its current use.
Okay.
From what the owner tells me.
Okay. So what you'd like to do is come back in 90 days, and at that point we may be able to figure out a compliance date?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, the order only directs the west side of the building, does it not?
No.
It's the whole building. Well, the west side of the building will be done first, but like I said, it's a large project. It'd be easier
to
rebuild
it. It is a large project.
It's quicker to rebuild it than
I think I'm inclined to have progress reports. I think it's too early to set a compliance date with all the work that needs to be done. I don't know how anybody else feels. I'd really like to hear how you feel.
I mean, I don't mind coming back monthly, but
well, I don't know whether it's monthly. It could be we could do every other month.
Okay.
Until we get to the point where we think we need to set a compliance date, or you can tell us when you think the work will be done.
When I first met you last month or the month before, I said it was probably 8 months, and
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking 9 months now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do I have any comments from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to continue progress reports bimonthly.
So moved.
Starting
4-4.
4-4.
4-4? That'd
mm-hmm.
be fine.
Actually, 4-4 is the cutoff date.
Right, that's the cutoff date.
Oh, 4-12 is the meeting.
4-12 is the meeting.
I'll be here for you.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Weber, hold second. Mrs. House, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Do you have an end date for the
final? No, not yet, I don't think. I think that through the end of the year we'll. But, well.
Yeah.
Okay. Progress report bimonthly until September.
That's fine.
Okay. So I'll amend the motion to say until September 2018. Mr. Weatherholtz and Mrs. House. Okay. Motion care. Let's have a vote.
I'm sorry. If we do August, that's actually
every other.
All right, August. Okay, August. All right. All right. Motion as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you, Bert.
Okay.
Could I just get my pictures back?
Yeah. All right. Case number 3, CEB 0118-04. Lynn Stepp at 44 North Halifax.
I'm actually case number 6, and I
have oh, okay. Please come forward. Well, we're going to jump down to case number 6 right now. Vishnu Limited. CEB 011801 at 1000 North Atlantic. Good morning.
Good morning. Michael Cicchetti, Doran Sims, on behalf of Vishnu Limited.
Okay. We'll hear from our attorney, Mr. Jackson, and our code people first, and then I'll give you a chance to talk.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you put imposition of a fine. The inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports that after getting a follow-up from the respondent, it's determined that this is going to be a long-term project. So we're asking to amend to initiate bi-monthly reports for progress and to set a compliance date after we move along a little bit. And I would... I don't think Mr. Klieg have anything else from my conversation with him, but I turned him if you should have any
questions. Okay, I may have some questions. All right, Mr. Klieg, this was you notified in April of 2017.
Yes, ma'am.
What has been done since then?
Well, first of all, Officer Klieg, my credentials are on file. Originally, it was from Hurricane Matthew. I was working with the owner's wife, and she was trying to negotiate a settlement with the insurance company. I was waiting. This is from, like I said, Hurricane Matthew. She installed, they received on the contract with a contractor, installed a construction fence, put it on a trespass referral site, and obtained a little bit of cosmetic work, you know, keeping the transients out and so forth, but boarded some windows up. But then she got the attorney on board, and then I started working with him last month when we met at the property.
So we have a fence up.
Construction fence, yeah. They have obtained, by the way, they did obtain two permits, one for one's expired, one's going to be expired for a re-roof, and also for the windows and doors and balcony work that's going to be done. So like I said, they
so
have...
So the roof permit has expired?
Yes, ma'am. They didn't get it finalized yet, so it expired, and it's going to... I talked to the attorney. They're going to reopen that permit.
And what was the other permit?
For the windows and balcony work, structural work.
And that, they have obtained that?
Yes, ma'am.
Has the insurance settled the claim?
Well,
okay, come up, please.
That is the crux of the dispute, is lack of payment and inadequate payment by the carrier. So, in fact, Vishnu hired me as their attorney for the insurance claim. This code enforcement process is a courtesy that I am performing for my client. In fact, I've been retained to settle or litigate the insurance dispute with the carrier. This property was significantly damaged by Hurricane Matthew. The carrier, of course, has delayed and denied payment or adequate payment to refurbish this property.
From Matthew.
From Matthew. And so I was retained in April when the insured realized that the carrier was unwilling to pay. Since the time of April to date, we have performed all of our site inspections, which are necessary, and afforded the insurance carrier an opportunity to inspect the property. Understand that when a property is damaged, as much as the city code enforcement and the city would like the property to be restored, there is the issue of preservation of evidence. And so now some time has elapsed to allow the inspection of the property by experts so that evidence is preserved for litigation. And at the same time, we're trying to preserve the property from further damage. So with the limited funds that were available, the insurer did pull a roofing permit and did put on the first layer of the roof to dry in the property. And we are now going to solicit bids, and we have in fact solicited bids to replace the windows and the sliding glass doors. There are also certain other elements which aren't cited in the notice of violation that we feel as an olive branch to the city that we can address. There's some debris in on the property that we feel as though will make the property more sightly. Even though those items aren't addressed in the notice of violation, we feel it's our duty to take care of that, and we'll hopefully get us in the good graces of the city by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that we work, we understand there's a lot of work to be performed, but there's not the funds to pay for that work. The insurance carrier has not released those funds. And so that is truly my scope of involvement, is to either resolve the case with Chubb or to bring it before a jury. We do have certain limited funds, again, and with those limited funds, we are trying to do the best that we can to strike a balance between achieving compliance, preserving the evidence for the case, and preserving the property. The construction fence was put up to keep vagrants out of the property. And
when was the fence put up?
I would have been put up during the summer, probably.
Summer?
Around
okay.
August, September, I believe.
And let me, I have a couple questions for you. When were you hired by Vishnu?
It would have been approximately somewhere in that April-May time period. I don't recall exactly.
Okay. How long has this property been without tenants?
Since Hurricane Matthew.
Since Matthew?
Matthew took the roof off of this property. I mean, it inundated it, broke several of the sliding glass doors, popped out the pool. I mean, the property was very much devastated by Matthew and further damaged by Irma, and further damaged by a vagrancy issue that, as much as the property owner tries to put up a fence and plywood off entryways and doors and windows, where there's a will, there's a way. And so it's had a number of issues, mostly with the insurance carrier. And if one goes up and down the beach, I can point out a number of hotels and condominiums that I represent that are all, unfortunately, in the same.
One of the issues here is public safety. There's a fence around on the beach side, the whole project?
Yes, there is a fence around the property. And anytime a door or a window is compromised, we plywood it. And whenever the plywood is removed, we re-plywood it.
Is the debris and everything picked up around the area in case we...
We're working towards that. It's when Mr. Klig and I met at the property, we went over the notice of violation, failure to maintain roof, windows, and balconies, and I admittedly told Mr. Klig, well, I guess we can pick up some palm fronds too. And
whatever the debris is laying around, and that's just to keep it in place.
Agreed. We can, we're completely aware of what's going on in this area. It's a wonderful revitalization of the core area of Beachside, and once we have the insurance proceeds to restore the property to its pre-loss condition, we hope that we can actually make it even better than it was and be a part of that revitalization. But for today, we can only do what we can with the limited funds that we have.
Now, you say you've solicited bids for this work. How long do you anticipate this work would take?
Depends which scope of work, right?
Do we have a contractor hired yet to do this work?
GC Contractor Services. On the roof is R&R. GC Contractor Services is providing the bids for the windows and the balconies. And again, the limitation there, I don't want to make a misrepresentation to the board, and I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. I'd rather underpromise and overdeliver. The limitation is funds. If you take that variable out, if the insurance company paid on this claim properly, we wouldn't be here today. Work would be underway. So yes, we are soliciting bids, and it's a rob Peter to pay Paul, figure out what we can do with the funds that we have obtained to get the property in compliance. So the logical part to me is when you do a roof, you can put the first layer of the roof down as a dry-in, and then you can build upon that first layer. So, in a sense, while there's...
When was that done?
That's been done for some time now. It was probably back in September.
Before the last hurricane? Irma?
Yeah, before
Irma. Okay.
So we moved quickly to dry, relatively quickly to dry in the roof. With the funds, again, with the funds that
that's almost a year since the last hurricane. That's not quickly.
A roof on a hotel is not inexpensive, and when insurance carrier doesn't pay, it's a $500,000 roof, and if you don't have the money and you don't have the income stream, I understand that it is an amount of time, but you have to consider those factors, and unfortunately, I am in a business where I used to do a fair amount of this work, and I used to do a fair amount of other work, but since Hurricane Matthew hit, the only thing I have done is insurance claims. And not only Hurricane Matthew claims, but Hurricane Irma claims. There's a lot of people out there that are hurting, and I don't care if it's a $5,000 roof on a mobile home or a $500,000 roof on a hotel. It's all relative, and if you don't have the money, you don't have the money. And
So
from my perspective, the fact that they drive the roof in, if it's on the citation, fine. But the roof is dried in, and you can't see the roof from the street level. From my perspective, the wisest thing to do is to get those funds and use them for the balconies, use them for the windows, because you can see those from the street level. Start using the funds, not necessarily to finish the roof, because there's no appreciable difference by finishing the roof. Let's do the doors and the windows and the balconies. You can see that from the street level. We'll do what we can to get the property. We understand the point. The point is the property needs to look good from the ground level, right?
It needs to at least look like somebody's...
This property needs to look nice. I get that.
Cares for it.
And so, well, and of course they care for it. I wouldn't be here today otherwise.
I have another question. This is probably for staff. The only things we're considering here is failure to maintain roof, windows, and balconies. And I look at those pictures, and I see a whole lot more besides roof, windows, and balconies, including the pool. So does that mean that once these things are in compliance, that we have nowhere to go with that?
No, I still, like I said, my cases come up before you. It's because it usually is some sort of either litigation or non-compliance. I'm getting compliance from the attorney, so therefore that's why I didn't recite them. But I did tell him, and he asked the same question. I said, well, listen, if you want, I can write you up today and give you 10 days to get this thing done. So I'm working with them and the owner, so that's why it's not written up.
Any comments? Other comments from the board except me? All right. Chair will entertain a motion to order a monthly progress report beginning next month.
Is it bi-monthly or monthly?
No, I'd like to see monthly. That's what I would like, to see how things are progressing with
And
Chubb, to see how things are progressing with cleanup, to see that there is an honest effort being made to...
Well, the effort, and I will say, the effort is tremendously honest.
It may be that next month we can amend that and say bi-monthly if we see progress or we hear about progress, but it just remains the same and remains the same. I would like to see a monthly progress report. How does everybody else feel about that?
I think that's adequate.
Agree.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to order a monthly progress report beginning next month and continuing until we set a compliance date. Is that specific enough? Until compliance is achieved.
You know, this is a long process.
Yes.
You know, when we're you know, when you're dealing with an insurance company and a project of this magnitude, you know, just looking at the pool area and everything, that's going to be substantial, and it's going to take a long time to do it. What about if we have a next month, have a monthly report to see? But I think every month it's going to be a long time. So possibly, like we did with the other one, every other month, to determine when they there's some sort of settlement, because nothing's going to be done until the settlement's.
How close are we to settlement?
And I will say, it would be my preference bi-monthly.
Yeah.
Not only because of this property, but two weeks ago I was in front of Mr. Sino in the county,
mm-hmm,
on another case. And so with respect to the board, progress reports are wonderful, and I understand holding feet to the fire. I do. And I've probably spent more time behind the dais representing municipalities than I have on this side of the dais. I understand that well. But if I'm providing progress reports, I'm not out there fighting the fight. And so the message from this board was crystal clear before I even stepped foot in City Hall. I understand you want progress, and I understand why you want progress, okay? So if I have to come every month for a progress report and spend half a morning or half a day, I'm not out there doing what I need to do for this property and all the other properties. And I say that with I'm only one person, and I am literally the only insurance litigator in Volusia County. I'm literally the only one I represent. So I have another hearing in front of South Daytona after this hearing. I have currently four code cases throughout the county similar to this one. If I'm doing these hearings every month, there's just no time. And then if there's another code case and another code case, I understand the import, but at the same time, I'd rather be out there trying to resolve these cases. I should have a status report from Chubb whether this case was settled. I gave them a time certain, and I said, we're either going to resolve this case or it's going to go to litigation. Of course, our hope is to compromise it, and I should know in 2 weeks. And so if we do not settle the case in the next 2 weeks, we'll file suit. And at that point, the litigation will take a year and a half. So, but at the same time, we do have limited funds that we can make the property look better. This won't be a Treasure Island situation that the Shores had to deal with.
Madam Chair, just for the sake of counsel, I'm sure you'll want him here at least next month to give you, you know, verbal on what's happening. But the staff doesn't have a problem with at least a periodic him sending something via email and just an update in that regard, especially if there's very limited things that have occurred, just so that you're updated and know that it's happening, and you know that our staff is out ensuring that he's keeping the property up.
Okay, I would be amenable to having an update like that.
And
next,
what's the March?
So if you could email in to the code department, is that what he would do?
Yes. I presume you would want him next month, but I don't know that. But
yeah,
anytime beyond that,
that's. And that's right. Next month, my report is going to be one of two things. Good news, we settled.
Right, exactly.
Or good news, we filed a lawsuit.
Right.
It's going to be one of the four or the other.
Right.
Hopefully it's, we compromise and we'll be able to get this property into compliance. So.
Okay.
But we are at the mercy of an insurance company.
I get it. So I said I would entertain a motion to order a progress report for next month. And that's it for the motion.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mrs. House. Do we have a second? All right, someone else? someone wants to make a motion, go ahead.
I would make a motion that we have a progress report next month, and after the determination of what we hear on that report, then we can settle whether it be monthly or bi-monthly.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that, I mean, can we put that?
Well, you'd already be here next month to make that.
Right. Yeah, we'd already be here.
It's
so
kind of the same.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same motion.
Absolutely.
Mrs. House made.
I'll second.
All right. Mr. Weatherholt, second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Like sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I think we're on case number three. Lynn Stepp, CEB 0118-04. Respondent present, wasn't present last time. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders is no longer with the department, but we did determine that we had some due process issues with this case, and it's a situation where we need to start this case over. So we're asking the staff if you would, we're asking the board if you would dismiss this so that we can reinitiate the case, because it does have due process issues that will.
What are the due process issues?
Apparently notice was, the first notification was not sent correctly or received by the respondent. I'm sorry. Okay, and we didn't do the alternative.
You want to
supposed
about prejudice?
Yes.
Okay. Need a motion.
Okay, but there was an issue of a pool being secured.
We have inspected as working the case, and we'll be diligently pushing to get these things accomplished. But at this time,
it was supposed to be secured in 10 days, or have the city do it. Was that part of the non-notification, I mean the issues?
Well, that would have been an after the fact from the initial failure to properly notify.
Would the city take action regardless?
I think that's what it said, that we would ask the city to secure the pool if it was not secured within 10 days.
I'm sure the city will look at all of its options and abilities to, as we typically do.
Well, I think it seems like a life safety issue to me, if the, you know, that pool.
Right, and I don't disagree. You may recall, Ms. Kendrick, we've had these kind of conversations before in terms of the limit of the board.
Right,
and, you know,
absolutely.
The city recognizes the board's desire for this to happen
right.
as soon as possible, and they'll take the actions that they have
right.
the authority to take, but recognizing the urgency that the board is recognizing as
okay.
well.
So the chair will entertain a motion. Do we need to add anything back in about the pool
no.
or no?
Dismiss the action for no prejudice.
Can I ask if this is occupied, this property?
Once we dismiss, we lose jurisdiction.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah, I don't know whether we know the property is occupied.
I guess the issue of maintaining I'm sure Mr. Sino can explain it a little better, but maintaining the action with the due process issue makes everything else that happened virtually invalid.
We
so
we
need to
dismiss without prejudice. We can refile it.
Okay.
So can
Chair will entertain a motion to dismiss case number CEB 0118-04 without prejudice. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, motion, Mr. Harrington, second, Mrs. House. All in favor, say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed.
So can we expect to see a refiling of this relatively soon, like maybe for the next board meeting?
The
whoever's going to be the officer.
Thank you. The current inspector, Steve Alderman, and Mr. Alderman's inspecting it. I'm sure he shouldn't be speaking on it at this point until we refile it and start a new action.
Okay.
We can't tell them when to file.
I was asking.
We would like it if we file as soon as possible.
And I'll expect he'll file it as soon as possible.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Unless those actions are remedied beforehand, but I expect he'll file it as soon as possible.
I mean, if it was serious enough to file it, and then we had to drop it, and serious enough to refile it.
And just for part of the answer, there is a case reopened.
Okay.
That's the inspector's information.
Okay, good. All right, so the case is reopened already. Okay, good. All right, let's move on to case number 4, CEB01-18-06, Gilbert Maiara at 127 North Hollywood. Mr. Maiara present? Wasn't present last time.
Madam Chair, members of the board, if... Madam Chair, members of the board, this case... This is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector, Siri Sanders. This case, the property was actually sold December 22nd prior to our last meeting. And so the staff is requesting that this be dismissed. We're working with this new owner to ensure compliance, but the property was not. We had an incorrect respondent that was noticed and notified. For the last proceeding. Mr. Sanders is no longer with the division.
Okay, I get that. But Mr. Maiara no longer owns this property.
That's correct. And he didn't own it when we had our meeting in January.
So we're going to dismiss this without prejudice?
Same thing.
Chair will entertain a motion to dismiss case number CEB01-18-06 without prejudice. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 5, CEB11-15-58, Daytona Beach Club Condo Association. Yay. Finally.
Good morning, Bill Turcotte, AEP Restoration Group. Just wanted to let you all know that we're...
Wait, hold it. Bill Turcotte. Raise your right hand.
Are y'all going to be testifying as well? Go ahead.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
So help me God.
Thank you.
All right, let's we'll hear from Mr. Klieg first, or Mr. Jackson, or both.
In this circumstance, Klieg is fine.
Okay.
I just said I was here. They're going to give you, I guess, a date. This could be in compliance here very shortly.
Okay.
So I didn't want them to step on their parades.
Okay. Come on up.
Okay. So we had a slight delay with the cold weather earlier in the month. We're finishing the painting by the end of the week. We'll be completely demobilizing next week. All of the structural repairs are completed. So we'll be all cleaned up and out of there early next week.
Wonderful. This is the way things are supposed to work. I like this. Thank you very much. I know it took a long time. It was worth all the time it took. As far as I'm concerned, to bring this building just back up to snuff.
I want to thank you for showing up and your diligence and taking care of this. And this shows it the way that it's supposed to work.
Right.
You're a prime example. Thank you.
Okay.
Just ask one thing. I don't know if it was clear what Mr. Klieg was saying there, but he hadn't been able to confirm since they said it'll be another week. So we'll need him into the next call.
We'll amend.
Compliance. And put an affidavit of compliance in the file.
All right. Chair, I'll entertain a motion to amend the previous order of non-compliance and allow respondent until February 28th to come into compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you.
No,
not if you're in compliance.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we did case number six, kind of. Case number seven, CEB 01-18-02, Donald M. Genevieve and Dwayne Waltrip. Last time they were not, the respondents were not here. Is the respondent here now? Okay.
Your name?
Dwayne Darrell Walter.
Okay.
And could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to hear from our code officer and our code attorney, and then we'll let you have your say. Okay, so you can just sit down.
All right.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports that the property remains in noncompliance for outside storage. Apparently, the tenant is the one who's kind of created this. The owner is elected for not to take action because he has been reported that he needs to rent money. But he's removed a lot, but there's not enough done with all the time he had to complete. And so the inspector is requesting a $250 fine to a maximum of $15,000. And I turn to Mr. Klieg if you have any further factual questions.
Okay. Mr. Klieg, what's been done?
These
pictures are from today or yesterday?
No, there was from last week. I got about 50% of the backyard was done. There was a gentleman, you'll see the picture here, that the gate was open, and he let me take a picture from outside the gate. He said that he's in the process of removing more of the track that right there. And it's still pretty much of a mess, but it's a major improvement from what it used to be. That whole backyard was like a scrapper's yard. It was, and that was the first time I've seen it where there was holes in the fence. We looked at them. So, and Officer Jesmer was there too.
Okay. Officer Jesmer, you were going to tag those vehicles?
All those vehicles are gone, ma'am.
All those vehicles are gone?
The RV, the blue Mustang, and there were two motorcycles.
Okay.
They were all.
Thank you.
As you've seen that picture, they're gone.
Good.
Did we remove them or did the owner?
I marked them and then they did. Right on the last day, but they did take care of them.
Now, I'd like to advise you that the owner did finally, this is the first time he's been here and for appearance. But
yes, it is.
There was a habit of not returning my phone calls sometimes, mm-hmm. and I guess the neighbors were calling him too, and there was no response. But I guess I understand his position. He was from in Tampa, but it was a rental property. And
so you're not suggesting that because he lives someplace else.
No, ma'am. No, okay, I'm just saying good. That you'll hear from testimony from the neighbors that
okay.
there was no response from the
right.
owner, and I understand
okay.
he was
okay.
an asset
okay.
to the owner. But.
All right. I get that. All right. Okay, Mr. Waltrip, what would you like to tell us?
If I may, I'm not sure which order you want, but they're also our neighbors at one.
Yes, I know. I see them. I will call them up after Mr. Waltrip.
Well, I'd like to thank the board for allowing me a month to get here. And by the way, it is a journey, and I don't want to underappreciate the seriousness of the situation. I left St. Pete at 5:30 this morning, and then I got to drive home. But I've got a very mischievous tenant that's been there a long time. I felt a little bad for him because he's lost most of his right foot. I started as a victim on the code enforcement in the beginning of the year. Ungodly eviction papers. He fought it in court, presenting the medical problem, and he presented the money. So I had said that he had to solve the code enforcement problem with Officer Kling. And Officer Kling, in conversation, said he talked to him, and it was my misunderstanding and my fault, and I apologized. I assumed he was going to do it, and he didn't do anything. That was back in April of last year. So I started a procedure when I got the final paper that wasn't done in December. In September, I allowed that one to expire. Right now, I've got a complete eviction thing. I've been waiting for the judge. He's done the same thing. The eviction was started on the 31st of December. I have all the paperwork here showing the summons from the sheriff and whatnot to get him out. I have at this time replaced the fence in the backyard. It says I spent $1,300. I don't want to go on the property so I can get the gentleman removed. The problem is he's allowed his brother to move in with him, which is, I've never seen anybody like it. I mean, he goes by.
Who was the, Mr. Klug, who was the person that was in the picture?
I didn't get his name, but he said that the owner hired him to remove the scrap. So I don't know if it was the tenant he was talking about, but
okay.
I didn't get his name.
Okay, Mr. Waltrip, who was that person in the picture?
I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't hire him. So he must have, when he said the owner, he probably thought he was doing the work for the fellow in the house, the one that moved the cars. His name's Glenn Stewart. I didn't hire that gentleman. The only person I've hired to do anything was to do the back fence. So when he told Officer Kling that the owner hired him, I'm sure that it must have been him. But the other thing I want to do, I want to thank you for letting me coming again. And if there's any neighbors of my neighbors, I truly apologize. I'm sorry for the situation. It is going to be corrected. But I'd like to take just a minute why this thing happened. In 2015, I went through five different neurologists trying to find out a problem with my physical situation. I finally, after going to the University of South Florida, found out that I had a brain tumor. I have had $485,000 spent by Florida Blue in my behalf last year. I've been knocked out five times. I've lost all the feeling from the right side of my face. I have no taste on my tongue. I've almost lost my eye. I've had tubes put in my ear. And after six more months, if it don't come back, I'll go through other operations to lift my mouth back up so I can talk normal. So it's been the most devastating thing that anybody can imagine. And I've allowed a little bit of believing what he had to say. Officer Plank's been great with me every time I talk to him, which has not been enough. The gentleman that does the monthly and yearly home inspections went in the house, said there was no problem. I needed to get smoke detectors. I discounted the rent, $50 for the cent to put it in. He said he did, but he would never let him even back in the house to look to see that they were done. But as I said, I'm floored that the judge has not made a ruling on giving me writ of possession, which I'm going over there after.
Oh, if he paid... Never mind.
No,
that's not in my purview.
No. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That was on the last time when I let him off that eviction. That was back in September.
Okay.
No matter what happens this time, he's going. And so what I'm asking the board to do, if they could, because I take this matter seriously and there'll be no issues, if they could give me... if I had possession of the property 30 days, but I mean 30 days would be great. If you want to come back and hear Officer Kling's proof that everything's done, it's not only going to be done to your standards, but it's going to be done to a much higher standard. I'm working with the insurance company to put because of the hurricane, a whole new roof on the house also, which doesn't really need it, but it's going to make the appearance nice.
No, it's not part of this either.
But I just had a really, really, really unusually tough time. And like I said, I heard a neighbor...
When did your medical issues begin?
The very end. My first MRI was in 2015 in December.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I'm sorry for you.
Yeah. There's nothing in life matters when this happens to you. I can't imagine even what it does to your mind. Made me really appreciate that PFT that the armed forces go through when they come home. You start getting...
Okay.
Bodies.
All right.
Would you like to see the eviction papers I've got going on?
What I'd like to know is when have they scheduled a hearing?
Well, the judge hasn't even said that there's going to be a hearing this time, which is really kind of funny. This is when I registered. It was on the 20th. The papers were served on 1/25,
2018.
Mm-hmm.
There's the date on there.
I've got the whole package here, but it's boring. But that's the actual serving of the 5-day notice on that date down here. Shows it down here. And another thing that's happened, or that he should have been gone. They no longer accept postage at the Port Orange location for the clerk of the court. They don't put down the website. So I sent it, and it took
10 days to go back to Deland to get hand-delivered. The only way you can send it now is FedEx, so that slowed it down. The sheriff didn't get the notice after they had put it in the computer for five more days. I called them and they said, we're so understaffed right now, we didn't sign off on it. So he should have already been out of the house and I would have been working on it. But so anyway, the sixth day, he put a letter, did not put any money this time. So he's going, I'm sure. He owes me $3,100. So,
but there's no... should there be like a final date for a writ of possession or something?
Yeah, what he's showing, and I see Ms. Hampton, Amy trying to look it up, but what he's showing is the summons.
This is the 5-day notice that he has to rebuttal.
He can ask. He can. If there's no date set, he can ask the court for a date. So that's not an issue. We know he's filed the lawsuit. This is irrelevant. He's filed the action.
Okay.
The question is whether or not we want to give him more time to get the guy out of there,
okay,
or not.
All right. Well, would you just take a seat, please, for a minute, and I'm going to ask one of the neighbors to come up if you have anything you'd like to add.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name?
State your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
My name is Russell Clonch. I live at 275 Columbus Avenue, Daytona Beach.
And your name?
My name is Gary Sutton, and I live at 261 Seaview Avenue, right next door to the situation.
Okay. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We've heard from everybody, so it's your turn.
Well, Madam Chair, I appreciate the opportunity to address the board on this issue, and I am condolences goes out to Mr. Waltrip and all his mm-hmm. ailments. He's purchased a house in 06, and mm-hmm. it's been 10 years, it'll be 12 coming up in September. They had a camper parked there for every one of those years. As you see in the pictures, that is not a house that's got messed up in 2 years. This took years to get it into that position. I have pictures of what it looks like today. He has made an attempt, but it's not enough. The dogs, they got the pit bull, which attacked the inspector here, and is still able to get out. It's not confined. They have a pool in the backyard that I've witnessed women taking baths in it. I witnessed the tenant washing his clothes.
Is that
in
the
it.
Pool?
Yes, ma'am.
That you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am. I've seen the tenant wash his clothes in it. Wash his clothes in that pool. So it's a Zika condominium.
Okay. Okay.
And there's also been 3 pages of code enforcement complaints against Mr. Waltrip dating back several years. And it all goes the same thing. Overgrown grass, bad fence, dogs, drunk, trash, and it just never has changed. And every since.
Did those cases come before the board and were
I'm
adjudicated?
Not really sure.
Okay.
Madam Chairman,
okay.
You
don't need to know that. I wonder if there have been any other cases on this house.
But
we consider just this case today.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Mr. Sutton, what would you like to say?
Just to back up what Rusty said here, this has been 10 years of I've been living right next to a dump. There was dope dealing going on out of the garage apartment. I called Mr. Waltrip and told him. He didn't believe me. I said, I'm only 50 feet away. I can see with 2 eyes. He said, well, if the cops start investigating somebody, I'll get them out of there. The cops did start investigating them. So if the cops arrest somebody, then I'll get them out of there. He didn't do anything about this situation. So the cops said, there's going to be a lien on your property if we arrest him and you haven't solved the problem. Then one guy got out, apparently the guy that was doing the dealing. The same guy, the brother, who's back again at the same residence. Okay. 10 years of this stuff. It just doesn't stop. This is a slumlord situation is what it is. And, you know, it's not any one medical thing. It's been going on forever.
He wouldn't even come and look at it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Harrington.
I would just like to say something. I'm really uncomfortable with individuals coming before this board and accusing people that live in a thing of criminal acts, and they don't bring in, if there's no evidence of it, there's no criminal acts, and I don't want to hear that given to us as evidence. That is not fair to the owner of the property or to the people involved, and I wish this would stop. You're not the only ones that do this. It's not our purview to deal with criminal acts. You have a criminal act, call the police, get the police to take action. If they take no action, then you can hardly accuse people of being this, that, or the other thing. And we've had several cases, and it goes on, and I wish it would stop because it's not relevant to the case. We're dealing with outside storage.
That is. Now, that's exactly what I was going to say. This case is not about the tenant. It's about cleaning up the property. What he does with the tenant is really out of what we can do. What he needs, in my opinion, what needs to be done is his property needs to be cleaned up. And there's no reason that, I don't think that we need a whole lot more time to do it. So with that, Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, February 8th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. When you come into compliance, so you can come up, but we're not going to hear any more testimony, but when you come into compliance, please call Mr. Klieg and he will come out, and the fine will stop when he finds you.
I didn't have any more statement. I had a question. May I ask a question?
You need to talk to Mr. Klieg.
Yeah.
Just ask Mr. Klieg. He was the one. We can't answer questions, but he can tell you exactly what you need to do to come into compliance.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Case number 9, CEB 11-17-142, NEL 4 LLC. No respondents. The brother was here last time, and Mr. Spivey was here. Oh, okay. Come on up. After everyone leaves. State your name and address for the record.
Ben Spivey. I live at 10537 down Lakeview Circle in Windermere, Florida.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that this property, the owner has initiated eviction. There's an open eviction scheduled for hearing on March 8th, 2018. We would ask that we amend to the April cutoff. We would also request that once the property is vacant, that it not be rented until it's brought into compliance.
Okay. And inspected, right? Is that what that means?
Yes, until there's an affidavit of compliance put into the file.
All right. What would you like to tell us, Mr. Spivey?
We've actually filed two evictions on this person. Like you've heard from the prior person, that the only reason you're evicting them is for failure to pay rent or other things. They can. We are represented by the Morey Law Firm on this. He took that first eviction and basically won. We had a settlement agreement out of it, and he failed to pay rent short of $6. We immediately tried to file again that he broke the settlement agreement. The judge ruled that $6 was reasonable to have accidentally missed $6 of payment. So we dropped that case completely. And the settlement agreement, we refiled a new case, again, by the Morey Law Firm. And that is a, our case is going to be heard by the judge on the 8th day of March, my only at 9:30 a.m. My only concern is that I want to, on the record, say the lease-in date is 6/30/2018. We will not, we've already notified that we're not renewing. We have a feeling he may win this one as well, as far as he's still paying into the court registry, the payments. You'll see by the photos, the impact to the community is mitigated. We have, we're able to put in the new steps, do all the wood rot that was around, and remediate the property from the outside. I verified that yesterday when I came to visit. It is a dangerous property to approach, as you heard a pit bull mentioned earlier. The person that represented us last time in this case was attacked by a pit bull running outside the door, and that's why I now handle all the cases myself. That was also filed with the courts. This is not just hearsay. That evidence was submitted to the court that's handling the eviction as well. He's not supposed to have any animals on the property. I'm sure Jerome can, Mr. McCoy can testify that he's heard dogs barking in there. That's not on the lease. I also want to say that we are first notified of this code issue on 6/2/2017.
Mm-hmm.
We have an invoice for pest control on 5/31/2017. This was initiated by the prior tenant that we were evicting. That's when Jerome McCoy came to inspect it. But we had already acted on some of the issues with the home prior to even being notified that there was a new case, prior to the current tenant moving in there. And the current tenant was helpful at the beginning, I would say, and then got some dogs and was not helpful whatsoever. You can research his own criminal history if you would like. We'll leave that for you to decide on that. Okay? So I'm just concerned. I'll give an update, but I am concerned that March 8th, I do agree.
And he is paying into the registry.
That he's currently in thousands of dollars. So he knows that if you don't pay in the registry, that's a summary judgment. So, but the worst case scenario is 6:30. But if you do look at the outside pictures, the mitigating to the community, it is cleaned up on the outside. And I think that he can testify that almost everything on the outside has been done, but we are not even approaching the property now that the dog has rushed an employee of ours. It's unsafe at that point. But thank you.
And anything, Mr. McCoy, do you have anything you'd like to add? No.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ron McCoy, code inspector. My credentials on file. I really don't have anything else to say about it. I just can't get inside.
Right.
There are dogs there. The outside, all of the work, it's been basically taken care of. But like I said, getting inside, a lot of the violations, they remain, the flooring, some of the windows and electrical that needs to be addressed.
Okay. All right. Mr. Spivey? I wanted to ask you one. Have you obtained the services of a lawyer, just out of curiosity?
We're represented by the Morey Law Firm.
You are. I
John
thought
Morey.
I heard you say that.
Yes,
I just
yes,
wanted
ma'am.
To make
so John
sure.
John Morey with the Morey Law Firm out of Orlando does represent us in all our evictions in Volusia County.
Okay.
And the courts are very backed up, and writ of possessions are very backed up, and we have some now. They take over 3 weeks from the final order.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have. Any other questions for anybody? The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until April 4th. Is that that would be for the April meeting?
Right.
Allow respondent until April 4th to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day, and that the
premises remain vacant.
And the property is to remain vacant until all violations are taken care of. Is such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Second. Harrington, motion. Mr. Weatherholt, second. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. 10. 11. CEB 11-17-158. AF 126 South Oleander Residential Trust at 126 South Oleander. Mr. Clotel was here last time. Okay. Not here. Okay. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. It was continued from the January 11th meeting. The staff is, the inspector is Mark Jones. The staff is requesting that we add a new owner. That's, so we did that last month?
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Stonegate Properties. Okay. I'm sorry, I just didn't read the whole thing.
Okay, I see. I wrote add new owner and we need to renotice. But what happened is that we did add a new owner last month. However, the notification, we don't have a return on that, so.
Okay. So you want to amend to next cutoff?
Yes.
Okay. We got to get things done right, or we won't get to hear the cases, so without. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until February 28th to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Towns. Second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 12, CEB 11-17-160, Rosetta Henderson. Okay. Nobody here?
Yes.
Yes, someone is here. Were you here last time, ma'am? I think I remember. Yeah, okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
State your name and address for the record, please.
Rosetta Henderson, address 6309 Regiment Drive, mm-hmm. Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Be sworn in, please.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to hear from Mr. Jackson and from Mr. Jones, and then I'll let you speak. And Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that the owner has taken action. She's cleaned up the site. She's removed the junk vehicles. She's also applied for permits. She's also applied for the rental license, paid the fee for the rental license, the business tax receipt, and just waiting for those things to be accomplished. And so we're asking to amend to the next cutoff.
Okay.
I'll send to Mr. Jones if you have any factual questions. I believe that's the whole story.
Good. All right. Would you like to say anything? Mrs. Henderson, it seems like things are moving along, and you're doing a good job. So you don't have to say anything if you don't want to.
So I am granted the extension?
Well, we're going to, I will probably accept a motion to give you some more time since you're working on it so hard. Okay? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until February 28th to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington.
Second.
Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So you have the rest of the month to get this into shape.
I'm sorry.
It is short.
It is very short date, and I have in the process of having to get there's a family friend that lives in the house. And I'm in the process of asking them to move, and I have to give them 30 days even though I can continue to do all the things that are on here for me to do. It's been a back and forth about that, and I just finally need to have him to vacate the house. So
okay, well, we've made a motion, and we've ruled next time it'll come back next month for a fine if we think that you need more time next month or something has changed in some way.
Okay.
We'll make another decision then.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Case number 13, CEB 0118-08, Khalil Land. Respondent present. Mr. Blake was here last time. He was the majority owner, not here this time. Yes? Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, as you, this is before you for progress report, as you indicated, Madam Chair, and as it's noted on the agenda, this is set for compliance at the for the March compliance date, which is the February 28th. Mr. Jones is the inspector, Mark Jones, and he indicates that it seems to be progressing. He does have some information that he could present.
Okay.
To the board as to the status.
All right, that would be good. Mr. Jones, this was due for a progress report. What can you tell us?
Yes, I have been in communication with the owner. I'm not quite sure why he's not here today. He has made progress. We had some vehicles behind a fence that have been towed. These pictures are from yesterday. They still have a ways to go. But we did give him to the end of before February 28th cutoff, so... I will be in communication with him and make sure we get this taken care of.
Thank you. All right, so we don't need to do anything with that one. We'll go to CEB 01-18-09, Imperial Land Trust. Anyone here responding here? Well, they weren't here the last time. Mr. Jackson and Mr. Jones.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that the respondent has filed eviction. I'm showing a... I'm showing a 5-day summons complaint dated somewhere. Oh, January 11th, 2018, indicating served on January 16th, 2018. Is current status as to hearing? I think Ms. Hampton's searching for that now. I don't see that right here.
Final order and judgment of possession was entered January 31st.
Okay, so received final order and judgment of possession on January 31st. So we're asking for men to the next cutoff so that they can bring the property into compliance.
Okay, so the writ of possession was issued, and then, what is it, 24 hours after that? Or what? Writ of possession was served on the 31st.
We had a final default judgment of possession, which is interesting.
Yeah.
From Judge Fields. This is a date and time ordered and adjudged that a final default judgment be entered in favor of the plaintiff and for possession of the following premises. So,
that is a minute. Yes. Just happened 2 days ago.
That's not truly a writ of possession. Yeah, it's not truly a writ of possession.
Right.
It's really a final judgment, just with a
final judgment. Okay. So we need a little more time. That's what I was trying to figure out. So,
well, what they need is a, you know, entry and inspection. So, and then
next cutoff, right?
Next cutoff.
A request for the writ was put into the court February
8th. Okay.
So,
okay, that's today.
So it'll be closed.
Okay. Well, all right.
Represented to us that
this. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the next cutoff, February 28th, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House, second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Yeah. Case number 15, CEB 01-18-10. Nell 2. At 530 Washington. Mr. Spivey?
You don't have to come in.
Okay, yeah.
He's already been sworn in.
Right, that's correct. You were previously sworn in, so we'll get to you in a minute. This is just a different case, different house. Okay. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Yes. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector, Mark Jones, Mr. Jones' report said he didn't really get any update or any new information about the case until yesterday. The property remains in non-compliance. In fact, it was re-rented within the last few weeks. The staff is requesting that a fine of $250 a day be imposed to a maximum of $15,000. And I tender Mr. Jones if you have any factual questions.
Okay.
This first notified 11-3 of a rental license?
Yes, it started off as a complaint from a tenant, and there was no rental license on file for either property, for either address.
Okay. So they have re-rented?
They have re-rented the front section, or at least it was re-rented. And then the side section where you see that car, that's a second unit.
Okay.
They have one, or had one electric meter and one water meter.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, Mr. Spivey.
Well, first I want to apologize that no one was here on January 11th. We
yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Anyone's time. You heard about the Pitbull story a second ago. This has now been transitioned to me taking all code enforcement violation issues personally. So that's what I'm doing. So I received a letter on January 16th, notice informing that we did not show up for this hearing, and I drove straight here to City Hall. I actually ran into Jerome McCoy, shook his hand out there when I was trying to meet with people. I'd like to start by describing this property. It was purchased on January 23rd, 2017. It has four entrance and exit doors. It has two kitchens, two stoves, two full-size fridges, two living rooms, four bedrooms, four toilets, all in working order, three bathrooms. There's no way to pass from one unit to the next when you're inside. I'm not a contractor. It does have one electric meter and one water meter. So I will reference 746 Alabama Street, purchased by the same company in Daytona Beach, Florida. It is registered as a duplex with one water meter. We paid for a new water meter to be added. It had two meters, electric meters, one water meter. So the one water meter didn't raise alarms that this was not a duplex. I described the property, what we bought from a wholesaler at the time. We did not know it was not able to be rented to two parties, because that's what was presented to us when we purchased it. It had a bad roof at the time. We had a licensed contractor put in a new roof. After That roof failed. This is all within the past year and a half. We had another contractor go out there, pull another permit, and fix that roof. So we've spent over $7,000 on the new roof. The outside exterior, as you can tell, was all freshly painted. So everything on the outside, you could tell, was done pretty nicely. But the inside was already complete. So we purchased the property, yep, zoned as SFR, that I know now. I didn't even know what that was, just three letters. And so I do apologize for that. I want to go now to the January 16th when I met Jerome outside, although that's Mark Jones. Mark Jones has worked there at Spivey before on another property. They worked real well together. Eric and Vilmar are handling these. I'm doing them, again, for the safety of my family, and if anyone's going to get bit by a dog, it will be me. January 16th.
Wait, would you say... What did you just say?
Well, again, they have a pretty tough job. A lot of people, these are a lot of landlord-tenant issues, and a lot of people have pit bulls, and it's pretty difficult getting on these properties to evaluate. But back to this part of January 16th, just so you can know our actions now. January 16th, I acted. I drove here when I received a letter in Orlando, Florida, drove here and sat outside. I was given two business codes. I went downstairs to apply for, there's four violations here. One is to rezone it or have one person there. The other one is the plumbing issue, which I mentioned already. That's working, works fine. And the other one is a rental license and business tax experience. You can't do those two things if you have an open code compliance issue and until you can resolve the two residents there. We have two residents there with leases.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What have you done to resolve the non-conforming
use? So on January 16th, when I found out what it was to resolve, there's a blue form that used to be allowed for anyone to apply for rezoning. That is no longer allowed downstairs. You go downstairs, they don't know who you are, and you just ask them, I'd like to rezone a property to apply, because that was one of the things. At least start the rezoning process. They don't give those blue forms out anymore until you meet with Dennis at the technical review team. They meet every Tuesday at 9 a.m. So on January 16th, I emailed Ms. Hannah Ward. She was going to help me fill out the paperwork. She's a very nice lady. You can listen to her voicemail. She was very nice. No response. January 24th, I emailed Ms. Ward again. She replied, can I have your phone number? I forwarded all these emails to Mark Jones, sadly, just yesterday, but he has now all those emails to show that these were done not just yesterday. These were done January 16th when I received the first notice that we didn't attend this meeting. And then January 24th at 9:08, I sent the email, 10:19. She replied, and then I sent it back to her. So she has my phone number. To this point, I still haven't heard from her. It's very simple to apply for rezoning. We want to apply for rezoning.
Is this in a redevelopment area? Do we know? Not in a region. Okay.
But again, to go back to the 746 Alabama Street, one that was purchased at or around the same time that this one was done. When I purchased that, it had two electric meters and one water meter.
What's the Alabama house got to do with it?
Meaning the statement of, well, it has one electric meter, one water meter, you would think, well, no, it's not a duplex. You can't have two people living there because it only has one meter. Well, we applied for the additional meters, and those were approved. So that was just a process of going through. So they've now since added at that Alabama Street address two water meters, so we now have two units. But that was bought at the time from the same wholesaler that sold us this one.
So could I ask you?
Yes, sir.
When did you re-rent? What was the date you re-rented this property?
I don't have it as being re-rented. I believe it's the same tenants as before. I don't have that information.
So it's the original tenants that were in there when this was issued?
I believe so.
Okay.
So I believe so. Again, I only go on the outside. We do have a real estate agent that handles the renting of the properties. But one of the leases runs out on 5/30/2018. So again, I always come with what resolves it. 5/30/2018, the back unit, as he's calling the side unit, the back unit, that lease expires.
Right.
We do not want to re-rent it unless we either have a started the rezoning, or we won't re-rent it until it's either rezoned or we just convert it back to a single-family residence. Again, that would require the hiring of a contractor because, as I mentioned, there is no way to get from the front unit to the back unit. It is walled off, done years prior to us purchasing the property.
All right. Thank you very much.
So, you know, what all of this amounts to is when you purchase property, somebody didn't do their due diligence to find out what it was zoned. Is that correct?
I would Looking back on it now, having
that's
purchased
yes
I think actually not knowing that it had to be done that way, because at the same time we had purchased from the same person and there was a duplex there.
Isn't
so
it?
Yeah, so we didn't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that but that has no relevance
yeah.
to
yeah.
this case.
So yes.
So I think that we've heard what the what you think the issues are.
What's to keep you from getting the rental license, the inspection?
Well, you can't get a rental license or occupational license until you fix the main problem, which is step one. So it's not like we ignored step three and four. So at this point, we know it was the problem terminates on 5/30/2018. That's when I was given the information. That's when the back unit, who's always paid on time, has already been informed we're not renewing your lease because we want to either get it rezoned. And that's why I said we have the Hannah Ward, we have Marsha.
Did you file the papers and rezoned?
Yes. And if they're not, I'm sorry.
Did you file the papers for the rezoning?
That's what I was describing. I can't get to that point yet, but I have to prove.
You said you can't get the business tax return. You can't get the occupational out of the business tax receipt
mm-hmm.
because you haven't done the rezoning.
Yes. And so the paper, that the blue form I was describing downstairs, they've taken away. They just don't want anyone walking in applying for rezoning anymore.
All right. Okay.
So you can't just do that anymore.
All right. Thank you. Does anybody have any other questions or comments, Mr. Weatherholt?
I think it pretty much does it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what we're supposed to do here.
Well, what we're supposed to do, I mean, the city has recommended that we
impose a
fine.
Yeah, well, I mean,
okay.
That seems to be.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent, effective today, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Case number 17, CEB 0717-79, John B. Clark at 726 Rawlings Court.
Madam Chair, this is one we overlooked to announce as being in compliance.
It's in compliance?
131.
Okay. Case number 19, CEB 01-18-17, JL and W Property of Daytona. Mr. Hastings was here last time. Is he here this time? No? Okay. At 1116 Madison Avenue.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that there is a pending eviction, and I don't have details.
A pending eviction?
Okay, well, I'll attend to Mr. Stinson.
Okay.
And I think he may have
good.
A little bit more detail.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. My qualifications are on file. The property manager was here this morning. She had another appointment. This property, the tenant is under eviction. The eviction's been filed. It should be completed before the next cutoff. Unfortunately, while this is going on, there's issues with the tenant and the landlord, so they're not going to do anything with the property until that tenant is out. So
there is an active eviction going on.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're asking to be
okay.
amended to the next.
Yep. Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until February 28th to come into compliance or to be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mrs. House?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Okay. Case number 20, CEB 01-18-15, Eddie and Joyce Anderson. Mr. Anderson was here before, is he here today? Okay. Not here. All right.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for a $200 fine to be imposed to a maximum of, $200 a day fine to be imposed to a maximum of $10,000.
Do we have pictures? I may have missed them. I'm taking notes.
They're working on them.
Okay.
I just wanted to do a picture for
okay.
Eddie.
All right. So, all right. I mean, I'm.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you want to come speak to the issues and tell us what's been done or not done?
Yes, ma'am. My last inspection on the property was this past Monday.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some progress. He still has the parking issues in the front yard. The fencing has not yet been repaired. Most of the outside storage has been removed. However, he still has more work to get get to compliance.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? It's just for curiosity. And it might be addressed to Mr. Sykes. How does the city representatives, the inspectors, come up with the asking of fines? Is there a fat or possibly Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, that's actually provided in our ordinance as well as in state law, which we in state law we just reflect. Our ordinance reflects what is said in state law, which is we look at the egregiousness of the violation, the efforts of the violator, and what else, the history of the violations as well. So if it had been so how much, what effort has been made to come into compliance, and what's the how bad is the violation?
Yeah, I knew this.
But we can do an up to amount is what it is.
Right, that's
the law, correct? It says up
to. You have to go with this, you can go with this.
Yes,
that's right.
Right. So our recommendation is, and your decision should be based on looking at those factors.
That
but,
is correct.
But you have up to the maximum amount that to consider.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today, February 8th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our new cases. We still have a quorum.
Okay.
Case number 21, CEB 02-18-19, Robbie and Wendy Burke at 273 Hartford. Anybody here? Okay. Mr. Queeg and Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Tom Queeg. Mr. Queeg reports that this property remains in noncompliance. This was a tenant complaint. At least as of the last time that we spoke on this case, he had not received any contact from an owner. And he's asking for next cutoff for the property to come into compliance. And I would tender Mr. Cleek for any update or any additional information.
Any questions for Mr. Cleek?
I've got an update, ma'am.
I
got to talk to Attorney Jackson yesterday about 4:30. I got a call from Mr. Burke.
Oh.
Stated he would not be here today. He was in the process of getting a permit for the roof. He said he will put the property up for sale and went for an email response to that. And until that requirement of the residential rental license, I'm still going to hold that open until I get some sort of confirmation. But now he's telling me, like I said, he is going to sell the property and he's going to firm it.
He still owns it.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or a respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. 22 in compliance, case number 23, CEB 02-18-22, MHC Carriage Cove. For Golf Cove Court. All right, no one here for that case.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you four.
I just, are you here for a case?
Yes.
very last one.
Okay, we'll take you right after this. We'll get to you. Sorry.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Daniel Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that the status of this property is that it's a mobile home. It has a damaged roof. It is still in noncompliance. The owner responded in the case that they will move the trailer and they plan to move it tomorrow.
As in move it out?
Yeah, they're going to.
Code Officer Garcia, my credentials on file. I spoke to the property manager, and the property manager says they have a contract with a company that's actually moving two trailers.
Okay.
This one's going to be completely removed from off the
okay.
property.
So next cutoff. It'll be tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance or respondent to commit to compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number, sir, are you case number 27, right?
The addendum.
An addendum. Okay. Case number 27, CEB0118-13, Carolina Club. Is this a new case?
No, it's a continued case.
Okay, continue. I thought you had been here before, so I'm sorry. I could have taken it before. Okay.
Kristen Burns, property manager, 100 Carolina Lake Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida.
And are you going to testify?
Okay.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. This is Mr. Stenson's case. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stenson. Mr. Stenson reports that the property remains in noncompliance. They're at the point where they need permits for the enclosure. It's, I think, if I understand them right, they've been applied for and it's under review, so we're asking for amendment to the next cutoff. And that's all. I'll turn to Mr. Stenson if you have any additional questions of him.
Was there some issue with the placement of the fence that it was on the property, if I remember correctly?
And no, sir. This is about a dumpster enclosure.
I know, but were they placed, you know?
Originally, the enclosure's location was not acceptable, but they've changed. They have since changed the location and the dumpster.
And gotten a permit.
Okay.
And
okay.
Got a permit. Okay.
Okay. Any questions?
So, what I'm thinking that we will do is entertain a motion to give you another month. Is that?
I would appreciate
okay. Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until February 28th to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. And please, if you get it done, please let Mr. Stenson know so you don't have to come back. Okay. All right. Now, where are we? We are back at case number 24, CEB02-18-23, Samuel Blanco. Not here.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He's had no contact from the respondent. Okay. And the he's asking that you make a finding of noncompliance and give the respondent our next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay.
These are two, you'll see that these are two of the same address, the two mm-hmm. different structures on a
okay.
parcel. So.
The next cutoff on the 24 case.
On the 24 case, noncompliance next cutoff.
Okay. 127 Fairview. Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, February 28th, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of fines up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second?
Second.
Oh, good. Second, Ms. Purdy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Likewise opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Next case, 20. CB 01-18-15, Eddie and Joyce Anderson.
There were two for long.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went the wrong direction.
No,
okay.
What?
I went the wrong direction.
Same as your
hold on.
Seven.
Yeah.
Blanco.
Not the same.
Yeah.
I mean,
I had it. I just lost it. That's all. Okay, here we go. Sorry. Case number 25, CB 02-18-24. Samuel Blanco, 125 Fairview.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the inspector Stan Garcia. I said it was the same address. It's the same parcel. As you say, it has two different addresses,
right,
but it's on the same parcel. This structure, same situation, peeling paint. It's in noncompliance, no contact from the owner. Request is for finding of noncompliance and next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, February 28, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, a second?
Second.
Second, Ms. House. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, that finishes off our cases. Regular cases, and I would like to make a motion to postpone the election of vice chair since we're missing people.
Just going to do that until we get a full board.
Okay. Mr. Harrington made a motion to postpone the election of vice chairman until we have everybody here.
I'm going to withdraw my nomination from that.
Oh. Well, that's
something against vice?
we can reinstate it next meeting.
We can do what?
Put it back next meeting.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
So we just need to do the election next meeting anyway. Thank you. So Mr. Harrington made a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Mrs. House, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Did everybody vote?
Everybody voted.
Everybody voted. All right, motion carries. Okay. All right, so we'll elect a vice chair next
month.
On the
March 8th.
Right, at the March 8th meeting. All right, now let's get to our miscellaneous business. MB1.
This is the motion that you did. Maybe everybody
this
get a copy
is
of this?
A motion. If you see, this is a motion to vacate.
And did everyone get a copy of the motion?
Yes, we all have a copy of the motion. It's a motion to vacate. Are you Mr. Nelson? You Mr. Nelson?
What is it? What is 843 Loyola?
Okay, go ahead and raise your
hand.
Big one.
Well,
you need to raise your right hand and be sworn first. Sorry. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Jackson, if you sit down, sir, we're going to have Mr. Jackson and explain what's going on here to us so everybody understands.
Well, Madam Chair, it's his motion, so he would need to bring
but
it out.
The issue is... is the motion's in front of us, but I understand this has been set for a hearing next month?
Correct. We have compliance set for March 8th, so...
Right, we have an order for compliance.
Right.
So if it comes into compliance,
if it comes into compliance,
this motion's
moot. No issue.
Right. And I would agree. I don't...
If you sign in compliance, then the motion's... There is no action.
There is no action. So,
And we really don't have a mechanism for it. I mean, it's up to, of course, the council.
I think we should just add this to our next month's meeting and see what the situation is. If he's in compliance, then there's no need for a motion.
Right.
Then it goes away. It's done. If he's not in compliance, then you can see if you want to go ahead and remove it or not. But right now, we don't have compliance.
But we gave you, sir, to come into compliance by March 8th. And as far as we're concerned, that's when we'll hear this case again. There's no reason to hear it now.
The reason that I filed this motion is because, to begin with, no complaint should have been filed against me, and Mr. Jones shouldn't have accepted any complaint. And I wasn't in violation of any code. And I've been coming here and I've been trying to explain it.
But you are perfectly welcome to tell us about this at the next meeting. You may say that you don't agree with the violations, and you may bring proof that you don't have these violations. But right now, we're not going to hear this case. As I think that will be our determination.
Why did you call me to come here today?
Because you asked to have it on the agenda, sir. We didn't put this on the agenda.
We're going to come up next month, and if you feel you're in compliance.
Were you aware that you were supposed to come back next month to be in compliance?
If case is in the court, you know, as long as the tenant is hostile, as long as case has not been over.
Well, we'll discuss that next month. So you have all your proof next month.
Yeah, get everything into compliance and it'll all be...
You can come into compliance.
What I am trying to say, somebody filed a fraudulent complaint against me.
Now
I have to go through all these things for no apparent reason. And I know about surveillance harassment.
Yeah, well, we'll hear about all of it next time.
But really, I believe that you should just dismiss it now and get
it. No, well, we're not going to just dismiss it now. Because we set a date for compliance, giving you extra time to take care of these issues. And at our next meeting, in our March meeting, we will determine whether you're in compliance.
And if you're in compliance, it all goes away.
There is nothing that I can comply with because there was nothing
I could comply with.
And also... Here we go. Now your policeman is approaching. That means I got to go. But what I am trying to say, really, you should have some consideration beyond those strict laws and regulations.
We are bound to uphold those strict laws and regulations. That's our... We listen to both sides of the coin, so to speak. We listen to the code enforcement staff, and we'll listen to you, and then we make a determination as best we can based on the findings in the case and the law. We don't go outside that.
Anyway,
and that's all I can tell you.
You can bring back your motion again next month.
Bring back
and we'll look at the court of the, and they'll make a decision whether they'll consider it or not. They're not considering it today because they want you to be in compliance before they consider it, and it's set already for next month.
All right. All right. I guess then I don't know why I was invited to come today.
All right. Now, we will move on to MB2, Miscellaneous Business 2. And I think this is staff requesting a dismissal because the person actually came into compliance the exact same time as we imposed the fine. Is that correct?
That's exactly it, Madam Chair.
All right. Chair, does anybody have any questions? Chair will entertain a motion to dismiss the case, the fine. Chair will entertain a motion to dismiss the order imposing a fine. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.
Okay. Please, not bad.